Dear Mort, thanks to you and your program, my husband and I have saved our marriage. I am now on my 42nd plugged-in Q&A and counting. Can't thank you enough. Oh, my gosh, 42 plugged-in Q&As. I feel exhausted thinking about it. I can't believe I've done that many. I guess I've done a lot more. Anyway, my question is, how can I improve the intimacy in our relationship? My husband doesn't like to discuss emotions. He doesn't like I love yous, compliments, or talking about us. We have many long intellectual, factual discussions. We enjoy each other's company and spend a lot of time together. We spend most evenings together watching films or discussing books, going for walks, talking about our three children. I know he loves me, and the trust has been restored, but this way of loving is cooler rather than warmer. There's practically no sweet talk, soothing talk, caressing, or flirting. He prefers not to talk or whisper during sexual intimacy. I miss the intimate talks. We have discussed it, but we have discussed it factually, and it has brought no change. When I've tried to start more intimate discussions, paying him a compliment or expressing my feelings, often we end up arguing and have felt misunderstood. I have tried all sorts of different ways, but nothing has worked. Do you have any advice for me? So it's an interesting question. I appreciate it. I'll share with you a couple of things that come to mind. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Queen Esther, but the evil guy in story, his name is Haman, he is sort of second in command to King Ahasuerus, and he has a lot of power, he has a lot of money, he's got the ear of the king, and from all outward appearances, it doesn't look like it can get any better in his life. But there is this one character in the story, Queen Esther's uncle, whose name is Mordechai, who refuses to bow down to Haman. He's the only one who refuses to bow down to Haman. Everybody else bows down to him. One day, Haman comes home to his family. I think he has 8 kids and his wife. And he says to them, I'm rich, I'm powerful, I have the ear of the king, all of life is good, but you know what? None of it is worth it. It's all useless unless Mordechai bows down to me. It's an amazing verse. It's an amazing statement that Haman says. Is that really true? Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you? You've got power. You've got money. You've got the ear of the king. You've got a great job. And there's this one person who's really irrelevant that won't bow down to you, and it makes your whole life and everything good in it useless? It's crazy. And yet, how many of us, at different times and in different ways, sometimes behave like Haman, meaning that we lose perspective, we become obsessed or overly focused on one particular thing, and it like takes over everything else that's good. In a sense, this happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There, things were perfect, and God says to them, you can eat from all of the trees in the garden. The whole earth is your dining room table. Enjoy. You've got no competition. There's no food shortage. There's nobody else that's going to take your food. It's just the two of you. Oh, but there is this one tree, just one on the whole earth, that I don't want you to eat from. And of course, in a sense, they did like what Haman did. They focused on just the one. They had so much. But they focused on the one thing that they couldn't have. And just like Haman, it ruined their life. By the way, Haman, I don't know how, if all of you know the story, so he becomes obsessed with this, and he plots to kill all of Mordechai's people. And he gets called onto the carpet by it, by Queen Esther, and then he ends up getting hung from the gallows. the gallows that he built. He built those gallows in order to hang Mordechai, who wouldn't bow down to him. And as the story goes, he was hung on those gallows. Because, I won't get into the whole story. But so I hope you see my point here. I'm not saying you're not right. Okay, there really was a tree they couldn't eat from. And Mordechai really wouldn't bow down to him. And I'm sure your husband doesn't, exude the most intimacy, particularly maybe in the bedroom. But it sounds like there's a lot of other good things going on in your life, and it sounds like you have succeeded to really transform your marriage in many, many other ways. And so the first thing that I would just caution you about is to be careful that you don't become obsessed or overly focused on something that ends up detracting from and ruining the rest of your marriage and the rest of your life and your perspective on it. A couple of other quick points here and suggestions. I feel kind of funny advising this because it sounds so superficial. But I guess if, you're all graduates of the original Marriage Fitness Program, you know me well enough to know that generally speaking, I'm not superficial. But, some people are just tighter than others. There's a lot that's kind of holding them back. They have trouble letting go. They have trouble relaxing. They have trouble sometimes, expressing what's really in their heart and mind, and sometimes that interferes with intimacy because intimacy is about sometimes about being expressive and being willing to be vulnerable. Anyway, but there are sometimes these people have different things that can trigger them to become less inhibited. They have things that can help them loosen up. For example, alcohol. Now, of course, if anybody out there has a drinking problem, you should just ignore this advice. But for most of you that don't have drinking issues, alcohol can serve its purpose. Sometimes it's good for a husband and wife to go out on the patio and have a couple of glasses of wine. It can loosen things up. It can lighten things up. You can sometimes do and say things that you wouldn't normally do and say, and I mean that in a positive way. It just makes you, less inhibited. And I'm just suggesting this to you. Alcohol is, of course, only one thing. There are sometimes other things that can get people, loosened up. I'll give you another example. Something like bowling. Sometimes when people, when they get physical in a playful, fun game setting, it releases some energy and they become more playful. So I think you get my point here. I'm just suggesting that maybe you experiment with some ways to maybe help your husband become more uninhibited.